I told you last time that the subject of the Holy Spirit is somewhat elusive, because it's not like in the Gospel, you know, you read of Jesus, you read that he went here, went there, interacted with these people, said this, did this miracle. That's kind of a concrete thing that you can, you know, you can relate with, yes? But that's not the case with the Holy Spirit. You don't read of the Holy Spirit going to this person, speaking to this person. And so the Holy Spirit himself is more, in, as it were, in the back of things, but working things according to the will of God in, particularly in our age. And so just keep that in mind as we go through these different truths about the Spirit, that I'm very often going to be talking about what the Spirit's doing, rather than speaking of the Spirit himself. And that's certainly the case when we look at our text today, John 15 and verse 26. These are the words of Jesus. He is about to leave. He's about to go away, meaning he's about to be murdered, and he's about to rise and ascend to heaven. And he says this to his disciples. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And we've looked at this text before, but I want to look at it in this particular angle from what he says about the Spirit being the Spirit of truth. He continues and he says, you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And if you turn over to chapter 16 and verse 13, we also see a reference to the Spirit of truth, which I need to comment on before we move forward. Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, people often misapply that verse to themselves, thinking that the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. But we're not apostles, folks, okay? And in the context, Jesus here is speaking to his apostles. Notice in verse 27 of chapter 15, you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? So the context here is talking about Jesus' disciples who would become the apostles, who would write the infallible scriptures. Okay? So don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into all truth. If you do think that, then come and see me, and we'll see how much truth you know. The fact of the matter is, I don't know all the truth. You don't know all the truth. Nobody, no sinful human being apart from the apostles and the prophets knows all the truth that God wants them to know. There are areas in my understanding of Scripture which are incorrect. I just don't know which ones they are. If I knew which ones they are, I would correct myself. Do you understand that? But not everything I'm going to say to you is 100% true. And not everything that that I say is going to be representative of the depth of truth that could be said about that subject. Do you understand that? And so we understand, as Christians, that the Bible is the truth. We're to study the Bible as the truth. We're to do our best in the studying and going back to the Bible as the truth. But we ourselves are not the representatives of truth. The Bible is. We're trying to get closer to the truth. We are trying to do our best with the truth. And we are hoping, as believers, that the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand his truth better and deeper. Now, some of us study the Bible more than others do. So some of us are going to be, hopefully, have a deeper understanding of the truth than others. That's only natural. That's only logical. But I did need to kind of point this out to you, that let's not misapply Scripture. Let's read Scripture in its context. The Holy Spirit will guide you into truth as a Christian, but you will never know all truth like the disciples stroke the apostles did. Okay? And that should be very plain and very clearly understood by all of us. We're all fallible. You might think to yourself, well, hold on a minute, how much of what he's about to say represents the truth? Because he's just told us that there are areas that he doesn't know about, or that they are maybe untrue. Well, that's just, unfortunately, that's just what you're going to get when you listen to anybody. But hopefully, I've studied what I've studied out and thought about it and prayed about it, and what I'm going to present to you is a representation of the truth, even though it's not, you know, as it doesn't speak of all the truth. There are just areas in Scripture that I'm wondering, well, is that the right approach? Is that the right, have I got that all right? You know, sometimes I'm more confident than at other times. Now, this text in John 15:26 speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Also, it speaks of the Holy Spirit as the helper, or the counselor, or the comforter. The Greek term can be translated in different ways, but it basically has the idea of one who comes alongside. So one who comes alongside to help, to counsel, to comfort. Do you see? That's why the word can be translated in different ways. But whatever he does, whatever ministry the Holy Spirit does as helper, counselor, comforter, is always done in truth. Is always done in truth. Which means any help that you're going to receive from the Holy Spirit is going to be done in truth. If you do not have a welcoming heart and spirit to the truth, you are not going to receive help from the Spirit of truth. So it is incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we are humble, that we are open to his ministry, that we're not arrogant, that we're not pride, that we don't think that, oh, we know this, I don't need this, and so on, but that all of us make sure that we can receive the Spirit's help. Because after all, as we will go on to see, we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And that means walking in the truth. So let's have a look at truth itself, because truth has fallen on very hard times recently. Indeed, I think that much of the disruption, much of the trouble, much of the disarray that there is, and the anger and the angst that there is in society today, is a direct result of the Western civilizations shrugging off the idea of absolute truth, that truth exists. And folks, if you're a Christian, you must believe that truth exists, that there are things that are true and there are things that are not true, that there are things that really do represent and comport with reality, the way things really are, and that there are other things, other ideas, other concepts which are lies. and which, if you believe, will lead you away from reality, from the truth. So truth is something that the Bible is concerned with. It's the word of truth. It speaks nothing but truth. It might record lies, say that Satan says or other wicked people say, but it reports them truly, factually. You see? So it represents the truth in all that it declares. Further than that, the Bible, because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Bible is the touchstone by which we can know the truth. You think, where do I find truth? Where is it to be found? Well, if you're not referencing Scripture, if you're not coming back to the Bible, your search for truth will be fruitless. You will never know what actually is and what actually is not, because you'll have no foundation for it. You might think that the truth is some kind of a nebulous thing, or worse still, that it's some kind of a personal thing, so that you have your truth and other people have their truth. In a situation like that, you may as well say you have your lies and other people have their lies. You're saying just the same thing. Do you realize that? Truth corresponds to what is. And what is, that is, every fact that we encounter, is there because it's created by God or sustained by God. Do you understand that? Reality is God made and God upheld. And our job as created, thinking, interactive human beings is to locate the truth and to adhere to the truth. Stick to it. Because only when we stick to the truth, even though sometimes that might be painful for us, and it might show up our wrongdoings, when we cleave to the truth, we will be cleaving to reality. And also as Christians, we will be following after, as it were, the Spirit. Because the Spirit only declares truth. He is the Spirit of truth. So truth is that which corresponds to reality. Because it corresponds to reality, truth does something else. And I know I'm speaking in somewhat philosophical terms, but we'll get through this, okay? But this is important for us all to hear. Because truth corresponds to what is, it also is coherent. It's coherent. One truth dovetails into another truth, dovetails into another truth, and presents a picture of reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so those two aspects of truth are the things that we need to hold dear. In fact, without that understanding of truth, we don't have anything. Honestly, if the truth falls, everything falls. Now, there are world views, Marxism being one of them, but other world views, certain ideas in other world religions that do not support the idea of truth corresponding to reality. For example, you know, some of the Eastern religions don't support that notion. Why? Because they say that reality as we perceive it is actually not reality at all. That's a dream. Okay? In order to get to reality, we need to recede from the dream, pull ourselves away from it. Okay? Well, that's not a very good worldview for the idea of truth. Do you see that? Ideas such as Marxism and so on, what that does in order to get power, and it's an evil and wicked and satanic view is that it is okay with lying, okay with messing with the truth, okay with creating disharmony among those who would seek the truth in order to dismantle society and then build it up again in the way that it wants to build it up. That's what's going on in our societies today, by the way. If you didn't know, the disruption that we have in society, left versus right, and black versus white, and male versus female, and all of these things, this is because of Marxism, the teachings of Marxism that have got into our colleges and got into our schools. I remember talking to somebody a few years ago, I won't say who, but I was talking to them and I was, the subject was racism. And this person said, well, black people can't be racist. Black people can't be racist. Because they're the victims of racism. Well, my answer to that person was, get a dictionary from like 20 years ago and look up the word racism. And you will see that racism's got nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has to do with your attitude towards people who have different skin color than you. So therefore, anybody who has that attitude can be racist, you see? And then I went on and I said, but how come you have that view of racism? I'll tell you why. Because you've believed a Marxist view of racism. Marxists teach that black people can't be racist. And why do they do that? Because they believe that? Not really, not the people that actually know Marxism. Because that gives black people a victim mentality, and that's what they want to create. They want to create a victim mentality. So they create a victim mentality there among many black people. They create a victim mentality in other areas like women. Women have a victim mentality today against men, okay? And the evils of men and feminism is on the rise. Feminism actually is not on the rise, it's pervasive. Many, many of you, even here today, you have, you've actually absorbed aspects of feminism without even knowing it. And you have a victim mentality. Why, where's that come from? Marxism, or teachings that are similar to Marxism, creating victims. The same with homosexuality. They're now victims. And as victims, you can't criticize them, do you see? You can't correct them with the truth. And in fact, if you're a victim, or if you're a party, some disenfranchised group, blacks, women, LGBTQ, you name it, anything but white men, straight white men, then nobody is allowed from the outside to criticize you because you're in that group, do you see? You're the oppressed. And because you're in that group, that oppressed group, you have your own truth. And nobody's allowed to speak truth into you unless they're part of that group. Well, in a situation like that, when you create a society like that, you have created a society that rejects the idea of absolute truth. And you have created a society that will not, because it cannot, listen to the spirit of truth. The only way that truth can exist is that you break out of that victim mentality. You don't believe the lies. and you say, no, I'm a responsible human being. I'm responsible to God. And God's truth speaks to me for who I am, not for how somebody identifies or pigeonholes me. That doesn't define me. You see, there's freedom in that. So this is a society that we live in, a society that has thrown off the idea of truth and the claims of truth. Our society places so little value on truth, and the only way to turn society around is to bring back the idea that truth exists and it's unbudging and it's just there and it hurts where it hurts and it comforts where it comforts, but we have to make peace with the truth. So that's the first thing that I want to say. Now, as a preacher, my job is to preach what the scripture says. Now, sometimes that means that I can preach really encouraging things. You know, I can go to John chapter 14 and I can preach from I am the way, the truth, and the life, and stop there. And I can expound about the fact that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and how wonderful that is, and that is true. But then I'm also supposed to represent the other side of truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's not as easy to listen to. That's not as easy to accept, but I'm duty bound to preach it. What that means is that sometimes Steve and I, when we get up here, we might say some things that you don't like, that might upset you. And understanding, by the way, that sometimes because we're fallible human beings, we might not put it in the right way. But we would ask for grace for that because, you know, sometimes if we had a second go at it, we'd put it in a different way. But just the idea that we can get up here and tell you off, tell you things about yourself, and maybe not directly, nobody's pointing to you and saying, you know, Daryl, pack it in. You're guilty of this list of sins. Nobody's doing that. But the weight of the word of God, the weight of truth might settle upon you. And you might feel discomforted because of it. And you may feel that we're getting at you, but we're not. What's happening is that the word of truth and the spirit of truth is doing its work. And you need to yield to it. Don't blame us. Don't point at us. Don't get upset with us because we're trying to be faithful. The truth has claims on you 24/7, all the time. It has claims on your understanding of it. It has claims on your responses to it. And this is the thing about truth, that it demands a certain attitude, a certain way of living, which has to do with the testimony of truth. Truth testifies to God. The idea that you can have a theory of truth and throw God out is incomprehensible. In fact, it's irrational. Truth is a mental, mental skill, we might even say, but a mental activity, because it comes to us as a revelation. Let me explain that. God has made the world. God has put evidence of himself in the world. God has made you. God has made you to think. to be a rational creature, to be someone who thinks God's thoughts after him. God has made you to respond, therefore, to the reality that he's made. And that means that you cannot make up, or at least you cannot make up your own truth, your own way of doing things, your own set of values, without coming into conflict with God himself. You see what I've said? Truth is a testimony that constantly comes to you from the God who has made you and the God who has made you to recognize his creation. He's put a conscience within you. The conscience is not 100% infallible. But if you're a person that tries to be principled, that tries to have some integrity, that reflects on the words of Scripture, your conscience is going to prod you every now and again, isn't it? It's going to do its work in you. And when it does that, you are not to shut it down. You are not to turn away from it. You are not to try and lessen it. You are not to make excuses for yourself. You are to yield to it, to the effect that it's actually representing the words of God. And so I've said that truth corresponds to reality. Truth testifies to God. Truth also testifies to where you are in relation to God, what you do with the truth. And the touchstone is the Bible itself. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul's writing to the Thessalonian Christians, and he's impressed with them. They are a persecuted church. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says this: "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." There's a lot in that. Let me say a few things about it. First of all, if we receive the Bible as the word of men, we're going to treat it as the word of men, which is the way we treat everything else as the words of men. We choose to believe it, or we choose to discard it. We choose to respect it, or we choose to disrespect it. But we don't think that it has any higher authority than the person that wrote it, the man that wrote it. And we know that all men are fallible. So we won't place a great deal of authority into it. But if it's the word of God, if it's the word of truth from God, then we will recognize that it is the only authority that we have by which we can know the truth, the absolute truth. And it's always the benchmark. It's always the authority that we will bring any other claim of truth to, make sure that it matches up with what the Bible says. And that, by the way, is also true of things that are said in our churches and in ministries. Many people make all kinds of claims about what the Bible teaches. Sometimes it corresponds with what the Bible actually says, and sometimes it doesn't. Our job is to bring everything to the authority of Scripture and test it by that truth. But notice also in this text that the apostle goes on and he says that this word of God, this word of truth, effectively works in us who believe. Do you want the truth to work in your life? Do you want the Spirit of God to take the truth to transform your life or keep you being influenced by God in your life, then you must receive the Bible as the word of truth. Don't go looking around for other authorities. Don't go looking around for other teachings which cross the word of God. Learn the word of God. Study the word of God. Remember the word of God. And you will not be deceived by all of the false claims that are out there. And the Spirit himself will help you as you study. Notice also that the Bible is not just a dead book. In other words, it is not just, although it is a book, it's not just a book. Because it is a book with a, that is from one person to another person. It's from the Spirit of God to you. If you are a Christian listening to me right now, you have the Spirit of God residing in you as a gift, as a down payment. Do you not think that the Holy Spirit, when you read his word, is not interested in the way that you're approaching that word? Do you not think that he is not invested with what you are reading? Of course he is. The Bible's a revelation and an ongoing revelation from the person of God to you. And so it's a personal encounter whenever you're reading the Bible. Do you understand this? A personal encounter. So come to the Word of God with that idea, with that spirit, with that view, if you want to benefit from it. And that leads us to the third point, the Spirit's role concerning the truth. The Spirit of God is concerned with applying this book, which is a big book, personally. It wants you to get out of it the facts, the records, the histories that are in it. And it wants you to understand this is truth. Recorded. This is a lie from, say, Satan or, you know, Ahithophel or someone like that, that is recorded for you to ponder, for you to think about. This is a proverb to give you wisdom. This is a psalm to help you when you're crying out to God, when you're in your confusion and in your pain. This is a record of creation in the book of Genesis. This is a record of prophecy in Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel and so on. But all of these things are the word of God to you. All of these things involve the Spirit's activity of wanting to apply his word to you. In 1 John 5:6, going to the back of the book here, 1 John 5:6, we are told, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And I believe he's talking about the baptism and then the crucifixion of Christ. But look what it ends with. It says this, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. And therefore, the job of the Holy Spirit is to speak the truth, is to apply the truth, is to recall the truth to our memories, is to correct us with the truth, is to give us hope with the truth. Because remember that in this difficult world in which we live, in this world of suffering and difficulty, that the word comes to us and says, for example in Jesus, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And every one of you that has accepted the gospel, that has received Jesus as their Savior, every one of you will see the reality of that. But you can hold on to it today as a truth, as a something that God is going to bring to pass. We have not received or believed cunningly devised fables. No, no, no. We've received the word of God to us, the promises of God. And therefore, we have a duty to uphold the truth. We have a responsibility. We're not victims. Not even our brethren in places like Nigeria or China and other places where they, or Pakistan and so on, where they suffer great things for the cause of Christ. They're not victims of the truth, as it were. They have responsibilities to the truth. What that means is that they are not to see themselves as being this insider group, this little group of victims, but rather they're to see themselves as people placed there by God to witness to God, to witness to his truth in great darkness, knowing that their reward for upholding the truth will be great. What about our circumstances? We don't live under the cosh like many of our brethren do in the world. What about our duties to the truth? Well, this is where 3 John comes in. Steve read it. And in this little book, John constantly calls attention to the truth. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In Paul's language, he could say it like this. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the truth as it is, you are walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is truth. If you are walking in the truth, then you are walking in a way that makes God pleased with you. Because you are reflecting the truth, his truth, in a darkened world. You truly are a light if you're walking in the truth. If you're trying to live by the truth. You say, well, I don't feel that the Spirit of God is, you know, I don't feel his influence. I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit actually is working in me. Folks, you've got to understand not to confuse the work of the Spirit with your feelings. Your feelings go up and down. Your feelings are, you know, they're part of who you are, and the person next to you has different kinds of feelings than you do. And they respond to certain things in different ways than you do. So don't look at your feelings. You might be feeling down. You might be feeling discouraged. You might be feeling annoyed or frustrated because of circumstances. But don't take that as an evidence that the Holy Spirit is not working in you, that the Holy Spirit is not active in you. You need to ask a more basic question, not how am I feeling and does God, is that an evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in me, but rather this, am I walking in the truth? Do I have a respect to the truth? You may feel that God is deserting you, that God is not listening to your prayers. You may feel that way. That doesn't mean that that's the truth. That doesn't mean that God's ear is not open to you. In fact, I would say to you that in your struggle, in your efforts to overcome the way that you're feeling, to overcome the circumstances that you might be mired in at a particular time, in your efforts to read the scriptures and get hope from the scriptures and get guidance from the scriptures, that's when the Holy Spirit is most working in you. Because he sees the efforts of your faith. He sees that you are willing to come to the right place to live and to move forward because you're concerned about the truth. In that sense, and in that way, the Holy Spirit, you may not feel him, you may not feel his influence, but the Holy Spirit is working in you. In conclusion then, Paul says in 1st and 3rd John 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth. And I think this is an encouraging exhortation. What it means is that when we work for God's sake, even though, you know, we might not want to turn up tonight, we might be tired, we might just be out of sorts, but we've decided that we're going to commit to come to church to hear the word of God. We're going to commit to work in Awana's or work in this ministry or come to a Bible study. My Bible studies, Steve's Bible studies. That we're going to get off our backsides for God. Then we become fellow workers of the truth, and that means that the Holy Spirit is working in us. He is the Spirit of truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us grasp this subject in a deeper way. Let us understand that in the biblical worldview, truth is not just something that's out there. I mean, it is out there objectively because you've made it and you uphold it. But truth is something that makes claims and demands of us. Truth is that which always requires of us allegiance. Always requires of us the correct response. Therefore, it deals with our ethics as well as our worldview. And help us always to understand that truth is personal, not impersonal, because it comes from you. And may we yield to the Spirit of God within us so that he can connect us to the truth, so that he can lead us out of error and into truth and into wisdom. And for any here that have not received Jesus as their Savior, Lord, we don't condemn, we don't judge. We were all in that case. We pray, Father, that they would explore the truth of the fact that you love them so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cross for them, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life, will be forgiven of their sin, and that the Holy Spirit himself will come to be in them. Help us to be people of truth, led by the Spirit of truth. Amen.
Please do the sign-ups in the foyer and